just the previous Gemara, just outside the what we're doing, the Shakhtaria. We're trying to learn out the rule of Rabbi Yehonan. Rabbi Yehonan has a rule. Lav shekot maasei, that says before the lav, do you get malchus or not? Is it like a regular lav in maasei that does not get malchus, or is it not? Because the lav is after the asei. To which Gemara has a question from the case of oinus. We see the case of oinus, the lav is after the asei, and we still see you get malchus. The Mishnah says you get malchus. So the Gemara says, suggests to say that maybe because the asei is really in the wrong place, because it's not necessary to write it, because you can just find it out from a case of Moitzi Shemra. Yeah, Moitzi Shemra, he didn't do action, just spoke. And still, we see you have to remain married to her. So of course, onus, you have to marry her. And therefore, the words by onus are extra. And we use it, we'll cut and paste them and use it after the lav and say it's lav mitzvah asei. Is it the way I'm speaking it out too short form, or should I expand on that? Are we back in it?
Can you say the last bit again? This very last bit.
Yeah, sure. So the question is, the words of Loisa the Isha by Moitzi Shemra is just gossip, is sufficient because we can learn onus out from Meth Makar V'Chomer. If Moitzi Shemra, which can do action, still you have to get married to her, onus, of course you have to get married to her, you do action. Now the Gemara says, no, therefore, the words by onus are extra, but I don't need those words. And we're going to cut and paste them and say it's not before the lav, rather it's after the lav, and therefore it's a lav, and it's about a say. So we're going to make it, instead of a lav shekod maasei, we're going to make it a lav hanitik maasei because the words are extra. And we're going to use the cut and paste formula and say it comes before, it comes after.
But then the words are needed for something, aren't they? They have to be for something else.
Well, no, that's what the words are used for. We're going to cut and paste them and say they're used for onus for afterwards, meaning to say if you transgress the lav, then you got the asei of lazy nation, which fixes it.
Yeah, but you can't just say that the Torah's got the word order wrong. There's obviously a reason why the word order is wrong.
Okay, but that's what we do by in. I'm not sure how to answer you that question. Why does the Torah write it wrong? But the idea of in, so the tongue twister that, is that we're saying the words are not needed here, they're needed somewhere else. It's not really that we can't paste them. We're not going to read it different in the Sefer Torah, but we're going to say that it's expanded differently. We're going to say it's not needed for here, rather it's needed elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we're going to learn from there that it's a lav hanitiklasi. Why the Torah decided to write that way, that I can't answer. Not sure. Okay, it is a bit of a difficult concept. I agree with you, John, but in terms of accepting that rule that we have it in the Indian, does everything else fit in?
What do you call it about Indian? Sorry,
im ano Indian, tongue twister. That's why I stumbled over the words.
Im
ano Indian. If it's not needed for this subject, well, to know Indian after, we'll use it in subject. It's one of the Yud Gimel Nidus that we say at the end of Karbonus. It's one of the ways we darish in the Torah. It's part of Amasira, basically, is really the answer. Part of Amasira is that we have this way of darish in the Torah. Even though it's written in the wrong order, we'll use it elsewhere.
Well, you're saying that it is needed for the Inyan, it's just in the wrong place.
Right, well, it's not needed in the Inyan where it's written. I mean, it's not needed before the Lab, it's needed after. So Indian can mean the actual subject matter, or can mean the area of the subject matter.
So just plug in the computer on the second side.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So the Gemara says we can't learn out from Mitzvah Shemra. Why? Because Moitzi Shemra has a chumrah to it. We thought till now we can learn out from Moitzi Shemra. Why? Because Moitzi Shemra has more kal. it's more lenient. Why? Because you didn't do action. Now, as Gemara is going to say, but we see you get more punishment by Yitzhak Shemra. You get Malkus and you pay. Onus doesn't get Malkus and pays. So he only pays. Doesn't get Malkus.
Yes, that's odd, isn't it?
Why is that so? Right. Fair point. Why is it? It doesn't seem fair. Okay, it's to do with the Pesukim. It's to do with the Pesukim. But at the end of the day, you see a stringency by Yitzhak Shemra, although it's got a leniency in the fact that it didn't do action, but the actual punishment is more stringent. So therefore, you can't really learn out onus from Yitzhak Shemra.
You mean the Kol V'Chomer collapses?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not consistent with the punishment.
Right.
By the way, do we call it a punishment or do we call it a kapara?
Which one? With Malkus?
Well, like all these things, like they're meant to be. There's like, if you say it's a punishment, it's like a negative. If it's a kapara, right, it's like a positive thing.
No, I'm not sure. I mean, we definitely call it a punishment. It might also be a kapara, but remember, the punishment might not be the full kapara. So.
That's true.
You know, now we're delving into philosophical terms of why the Torah gives punishments. Is it to mechapa? Is it to set a precedent or to warn people away or whatever? You know, it's.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara says maybe that's not. Sorry,
This is the Masechta to discuss these.
That's true. But honestly, it might come in more in Sanhedrin. Probably more in Sanhedrin, but I guess this and the Sanhedrin, it was over that. That's true. So the Gemara says, maybe that now they're around, that we can learn Moshe Shemra from Onus. If Onus, it says, V'lei Siyad Eisha, then of course by Moshe Shemra, which gets more punishments, it does not need to have those because it's blood out from onus. And therefore, the words are actually on Yitzhak Shemra. And then we'll take those words and say, well, it's not necessary for this Indian. We'll use it back to onus in a case after the love. Yeah, this is a prophet Indian, and we're using it for a completed subject. It's written by Yitzhak Shemra. We're going to use it for onus after the love. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? You can't do that. You can't learn Moshe Shemra from Onus, because Onus to the action. So although it's more lenient punishment-wise, but in the actual what you did, it was more severe. So meaning Moshe Shemra and Onus each have their stringencies and each have their leniencies. And therefore you can't learn one out from the other, because you're not sure why maybe this gets this punishment because it's more stringent, or maybe it gets it more cut, etc. Does that make sense, that concept? We can't learn from the other because they each have their specific characteristics about them, which possibly make them more stringent or more lenient. And we don't know which one, essentially, at the end of the day, it's considered the overwhelming stringent one to say, well, write it there and learn from a couple of things.
Yeah. The only problem is that this the point about the punishment, it's quite a fundamental knockback, isn't it? And it seems to knock back the whole concept that we've been dealing with, you know, the last 2 or 3 days. The whole premise was that there was this Kol V'Chomer, and now the fact that this point has been pointed out that the punishment is less for an onus. That's a pretty stiff put down, isn't it?
Well, I'll counter you and say that although the punishment in the Torah is Malkus and Mammon, but perhaps by onus it is such a bad thing that the punishment like the written in the Torah get more severe punishment. We had that before by Godos, meaning sometimes the punishment in the Torah is not sufficient, and therefore, yeah, it won't be a death penalty because it's not as severe as that, but it's in between, and it's not a punishment that basically can carry out. We don't know. We don't know clearly.
Yeah, exactly. It's the difference between punishment and a kapara.
Maybe.
So, in that case, then, on that basis, the Kol V'Chomer could be re-established.
Well, we don't know. It is a possibility. Again, there's nothing to prove, so we don't know which way to go. Maybe yes, or maybe not. Okay, so the Gemara goes on to say, maybe you don't need it by Reitzin Shemra itself. The actual Lesion issue is not necessary by Reitzin Shemra because you're already married to her. So why do you need his words? It must be used for Inus after the love. Now, Jonathan asked yesterday, 2 days ago, why maybe it means you should remain married to her. Mitzvah asks you to remain married and don't think you can divorce her or whatever. And to that, the Ritzvah, he doesn't really ask the question, but he says a line which maybe answers your question, Jonathan, and that is, the word Ti El Isha means get married. It doesn't mean stay married. The whole expression means get married. And that's not possible if she is your wife.
Really? Interesting. Okay. It means you shall be married.
Well, you should get married. If you should be married, then you're maybe all right. You should be or stay married. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see. Like people say, Bruch to, yeah.
I guess so. Yeah. So says the Gemara, that maybe, what do you mean? Maybe the words, you can't use it to Inus. Why? Because maybe the word, maybe the although it's extra from Reitzin Shemra, but maybe we're going to use it for Reitzin Shemra itself. If you do the lav, you don't get malchus. Yeah, Reitzin Shemra itself is a lav shekod maasei. So what happens when Reitzin Shemra divorces his wife? Does he get malchus? And that we have the mitzvah, maybe it's the issue. Maybe it's the mitzvah shemra itself. Not, we can't transfer it to Onus. Use it by mitzvah shemra itself. When we've got words, we don't try and take it out of the subject matter. We can use it for the subject matter. So let's use those words for the subject matter after the lab. To which Gemara says that you're right. However, maybe you can learn out Onus from mitzvah shemra. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? You can't do that. Because Onus might be more severe, might be more... more lenient than Moitzi Shemra. Therefore, you can't learn out Onus from Moitzi Shemra, and therefore we're back to square one. Why is it that Onus does not get Malchus if he divorces his wife? We're back to the question. We've rejected all the turks and the possible suggestions we just the whole way through the Omid, and now we're back to the Ela of Arava. It's we're 6 lines up from the bottom of the Omid. That's what we're holding. Any points anyone wants to go over?
No, it's okay.
Okay. So, Ela Omar Rava. So, says Rava, Kol Yama Ba'amoy V'Hachsoy. What does this mean? All her days, all your days, it should be that you should try and return her. What does that mean? Rashi explained this, meaning to say, the pasuk says, "Lo yuchal shalcha." We read the pasuk inside. Lo yistia le'isha, lo yuchal shalcha kol yomov. Don't divorce her all your days. Now, lo yuchal shalcha kol yomov. Kol yomov seems extra words because you can't divorce her. You can't divorce her. Of course, it means you can't ever divorce her. Why does it say you can't ever, never, ever, ever divorce her? What does that mean? What's Kol Yomov? So Rava says that Kol Yomov is coming to say a Yisoid here, which means to say that if you divorce her, then there's a possibility of fixing it. But if you do divorce her, then Kol Yomov, you should be able to return her, and that makes it like a Lav Hanitik Lasei. Yeah, I'm going to explain that maybe with Rose. Let me just see how Rashi explained that 1 second. The way Rashi says it is as follows. Rashi says, the possibility is as follows. They say, Isha, you should marry her. Luchel is Shalcha. And if you do, then Kol Yomov, you should make sure to return her. Meaning, we're darshing the words Kol Yomov to mean something significant here. We're saying it means if you do divorce her, then Kol Yomov, you have to return her.
What do you mean return her? What does that mean?
Mean get married to her again.
Right.
And therefore, it becomes like a lav anything that I say, because the words Kol Yomov add on that you should not divorce her, and if you do, Kol Yomov should return her. If you do divorce her, then the shiluch, the niruch shalach Kol Yomov. If you do divorce her, it shouldn't be that she's divorced always. You should try and return her. So the Gemara is sort of like redirecting a mini assay here. We're saying, if you do divorce her, then Kol Yomov should try and return her. So it's like the assays afterwards also. Those extra words Kol Yomov is coming to say there's an assay afterwards also. It's a bit of a twisty drasha, meaning to say, again, it says, she got married. Don't divorce her. Over im shilcha, if you do the rosa, then Kol Yomov, you have the chance to return her. That's how we're saying it. If you want, we could see Rashi inside. Rashi explains it a bit better. If you look on the side, the narrow lines of Rashi, a few lines up, Ella my rubber, going bold at the beginning of the Rashi. I'm trying to read it inside. Ella my rubber. Says Rava, how the Tanya but Inus Max in later. That what it says that Inus can return to can get remarried to her and not get Malchus. Time and Mishun, the reason is that a Korach Lav Hintiklasayu, it's of course, it has to be a Lav Hintiklasay. Why? The Omakra Kol Yomov, the Pasuk says Kol Yomov. It doesn't need to write. All it needs to write is Luchalu Shalcha. My Kol Yomov, why does it have to add on the words Kol Yomov? This is what it's saying. The divorce should not be all her days, all your days. Rather, get remarried to her. What does it mean? It must mean go and get remarried, because what else does it mean? It doesn't mean remarry her again, because it doesn't say marry her, because you already know you have to marry her. So Kol Yomov must mean get remarried to her. Bachikom, this is what it's saying. Lo yisya de isha, get married to her. If shilcha, if you do divorce her, lo yehu shluchel Kol Yomov. Your divorce should not be forever. Rather, you should get remarried to her. Harry has say achaveres alav. We see there's a mitzvah assay after you transgress the law. Kol Yomov's come to say nasay. Yeah, the words Kol Yomov I'm implying, and I say, if you do divorce her, Kol Yomov, you should try and return her. And that's why, although Yerushalayim's rule stands, that a lav shekod ma'aseh gets Malchus, in this case, you don't get Malchus, because here's a special drasha of Luchal Shalvu, Kol Yomov, that Kol Yomov, ba'moid v'hachzer. So, I mean, just maybe to simplify it in a nutshell, what we're saying is the words Kol Yomov are extra in the Pasuk, and we're using those words to create an assay after the lav, and now it becomes a lav anitik assay. Before we thought there's a lav shekod ma'assay, and now we're saying the words Kol Yomov recreate an assay after the lav, and therefore it's a lav anitik assay. We're just using words Kol Yomov to say there's a lav, that there's an assay afterwards. It becomes a normal lav and it's assay. Because the words Kol Yomov are after the lav. Luchal Shalcha, there's a lav not to divorce her, and you would have got Malchus. Rather, that the Torah says Kol Yomov, that there's an assay that you should try and remarry her. So now there's an assay afterwards. You can fix the lav. Lav and it's assay. Okay. So ask the Gemara. So this Ravin, neighbor Brechim, also said the same thing as Rava. He said the same tarot that Kol Yomav Avay B'Hachsa. It's really, and I'll say afterwards, because Kol Yomav is a possibility of remarrying. Okay. Amalei Rav Papa the Rava. Says Rav Papa the Rava. B'Horoi Domi Lave Lav the Chasim. So now the Gemara is asking as follows. What's the shot? What do we say? We're going back to the original rule. Every lav shekod maaseh gets malchus. Why? Why does every lav shekod maaseh get malchus? I've got a kasha for you. Every lav that gets malchus, we had in the previous staff, has to be similar to the lav of chasimu. Leisachsim shor b'dishoy. Yeah? That's where the possum of malchus is written. Next to that lav of not to muzzle the oxen of threshing. That's what we had about a duff and a half ago. Two duff ago, something like that. So every lav has to be similar to that lav in order to get malchus. And here, every lav shekod maaseh, every lav which has an aseh before it, is not comparable to that lav. Why? Because it's also got a mitzvah aseh. So that is a significant enough difference to say it should not be similar to the lav of chasimah to get malchus. Why should you get malchus? Now ask the Gemara, what do you mean? So what, there's an assay. Why does that make it something significant? So what, there's an assay. So it might be the love is to not eat red things. Why is a red thing significant? What's the assay make it not similar enough? It doesn't have to be similar in every single detail. So what detail, the fact that it's got an assay about it, does it make it not comparable to not get marvelous? So it's the inside. You can't compare this lav to the lav of Chasima, and therefore should not get malchus because it's got an assay. Amalei, you replied back to him, because the Torah writes another assay, meaning this because it happens to have an extra assay about it, it means you should lose out. Why should that be? Why should that be enough of a difference to say it's not comparable? So, what sort of kasha is that? Of course, it's significant if it has an assay. Every lav that it's an assay doesn't get malchus. Why? Why does it not get malchus? Because it's not comparable, because it's got an assay afterwards. So too, if you've got an assay afterwards, we don't say it's not comparable to the lav of Hasimah. So, too, if it's got an assay beforehand, what should be different? Says the Gemara, Amalei, who in a tuki lav? No. That's not the reason why a lav in assay does not get malchus. It's not because it happens to have extra assay. The reason is, as we've been explaining all along, the fact is an assay after the lav tells us an assay is a way to fix the lav. If you've got a way of fixing the lav, you can't get malchus. Assay before the lav, that has no way of fixing it. So that's why it should be comparable to every normal lav and get malchus. So the Gemara is concluding here that it's not a good question. And so what, it's got an extra assay. It's still comparable enough to the lav of chasima, and adding on an assay does not make it any worse. You asked me a question from lav and nitiv assay. That's because it's significant because the assay is coming to fix the lav. So of course we're going to say it doesn't get malchus. Yeah, so it was a bit of a brief question answer in the Gemara, how to and whether or not a lav shekod maaseh would get malchus or not. Would it be comparable or not? Including, of course, it's comparable. Just adding on a lav, assay is not going to make it any more less comparable. That really concludes the inyan of a lav shekod maaseh. But now we're going to move on for the next, at least the daf, I think, by the topic of a lav hanitik maaseh. Now, I'll just give a brief introduction. Got 1 minute left. How do we understand every lav in Tikase? Yeah,
comment. Normally, when if you do something, it goes back to my previous shilas actually. But normally, you do something wrong, and if you own up to it before you've been found out or caught red-handed, then you don't get malchus, you know, if it's a love, right? So you've done, you've definitely done something wrong. You've transgressed something, and then you own up, and you say, oh, actually, I shouldn't have done this. But before you've been caught out, then okay, then you're okay. If you wait to be caught out, if you wait to be told that actually you've told a lie about this, you know, I'm thinking maybe something contract disputes where you've lied, told a lie, then you lost your opportunity to fix it yourself, because it's been forced on you, because you've been, there's witnesses that you are a liar or something, and then you'll get punished, right? Then you'll get punished if you get caught out. So here it's different, isn't it? Here, saying that you do the wrong thing, and you can, the Torah is actually saying there's a way to fix it, and you don't even have to, bless you, you don't even have to admit that you've done the wrong thing. You just do whatever you need to do to fix it according to Torah law.
Well,
so in a way, the Torah is being very kind here.
Well, I hear your point, but it's not that we assume he's done nothing wrong. It's only this Gemara is only referenced. It's only in reference to Malchus. It could be he's got a black stain on his passport to Gan Eden that he has to fix them. Because although he's rectified the action, does not mean, you know, if someone insults someone, asks for forgiveness, it might help out, but at the end of the day, he's done something wrong. He might have patched it up, but it's better he never did it. That's for sure, better he never did it, and there might still have to be something he has to do. Our Gemara is only a reference to Malchus. You can't give him Malchus for something that he's fixed. That's the idea. We'll see actually next year a big enough commitment in this. We'll try to get the introduction a bit too long, so we'll start with it next year, if it's our show.